ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. And to the standing between the living and the dead, memorial, devotional service, family members, welcome. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 204, where, by the grace of God, I read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order, along with my family. This unique viewpoint allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we're reading Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for the privilege of prayer. And thank you, Lord, for the prayers that have already been prayed this morning. Please hear and answer our prayers as you always do when we are right with you. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And I humbly pray that you will grant us your energy, your strength, your grace, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your Holy Word. Thank you for the gift of reading and being able to read. And we pray that you will give us the power of your Holy Spirit, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, to pray and to read your Holy Word and to understand it and to apply it to our lives. And then, Lord, help us to teach it to others, and then to preach your Holy Gospel, to proclaim your Holy Gospel to others in this dying and lost world. We have always needed your Holy Word, and Lord, we need it more now than ever. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. At Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, and that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies, and the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for your holy word. And Lord, even though this was directed to the children of Israel, you have told us in the New Testament that we should learn from the Israelites and learn how you dealt with them. So, Lord, by your grace, I know that you spoke to my heart from your holy word this morning. I don't know how you do it, but I thank you for it. And I'm sure you're speaking to the hearts of others through your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray that you'll help us to teach it to others in a discipleship way and to preach your holy gospel to others who don't know you as Savior, and even as Lord, even this on this day, we pray that you will move by the power of your Holy Spirit as people listen to the gospel preached unto them, so that their eyes can be opened and so that they can be saved as well and set free. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, including address our dear brothers and sisters who make up the worldwide family of the standing between the living and the dead memorial and devotional service. Welcome. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's classic book, Morning and Evening. This is the podcast This is episode number 467. The scripture passage that Charles Haddon Spurgeon chose for this devotional is Proverbs 11:25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. We are here taught the great lesson that to get, we must give, that to accumulate, we must scatter, that to make ourselves happy, we must make others happy, and that in order to become spiritually vigorous, we must seek the spiritual good of others. In watering others, we are ourselves watered. How? Our efforts to be useful bring out our powers for usefulness. We have latent talents and dormant faculties, which are brought to light by exercise. Our strength for labor is hidden even from ourselves. Now this is deep, folks. This is deep. Please get it. Until we venture forth to fight the Lord's battles. And this is so true. Or to climb the mountains of difficulty. We do not know what tender sympathies we possess until we try. Until we try to dry the widow's tears and soothe the orphan's grief. We often find in attempting to teach others that we gain instruction for ourselves. Is that not true? Oh, what gracious lessons some of us have learned at sick beds. We went to teach the scriptures, we came away blushing that we knew so little of them. In our converse with poor saints, we are taught the way of God more perfectly for ourselves and get a deeper insight into divine truth, so that watering others makes us humble. We discover how much grace there is where we had not looked for it, and how much the poor saint may outstrip us in knowledge. Our own comfort is also increased by our working for others. We endeavor to cheer them, and the consolation gladdens our own heart. Like the two men in the snow, one chafed the other's limbs to keep him from dying, and in so doing kept his own blood in circulation and saved his own life. The poor widow of Sarepta gave from her scanty store a supply for the prophet's needs, and from that day she never again knew what want was. Give then, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, Jesus Christ said, pressed down and running over. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for some of us reminding us of this important message and lesson. Some of us hearing it for the first time. Lord, help all of us who are saved to do it. Save those who don't know your Savior so that they can do it too and be blessed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friends, in keeping with the standing between the living and the dead memorial and devotional service, we will continue to read in your hearing the family verses. And today we will read that unique verse that speaks directly to the husband and the wife. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Now, let me tell you men something. I do not have to remind you that this is a commandment. So it has nothing to do with your feelings towards her. It has nothing to do with how many pounds she has put on or not put on. Has nothing to do with the fact that she does not look as good as she used to. Because if the truth be known, what really attracted you first were her looks. And as I have told you many times, there's nothing more beautiful on earth than a good-looking woman. And when God made the woman, he made something. And as I told you, I believe that's one of the main reasons why Adam threw us into this mess. He took one look at Eve and said, "Give me that apple." And we've been in this mess ever since. But be that as it may, let me say this to you. Love is a many splendid thing. It's a beautiful thing. But sometimes true love may not even look like love. And what happens is, in our society, we're all about the looks, the optics. And that's not what you need to focus on. See, love will lead you, husbands, to not take your wife out on that date until she gets her act together at the house and on a consistent basis feeds you and your children properly on a regular basis and keeps the house clean and never allows the house to get into a mess in the first place. And that may not look like love to the world. It may not look like love to your fellow sweet little evangelical Christian friends, because they're caught up in how things look. But over the long haul, over time, pardon me, in time to come, your wife will be better served, and you will too, and your children will as well. And let me just say something to you husbands again. It is your job to provide a peaceful, productive environment for your children to do what they need to do. Their ministry work, their business work, that means the household, family business, school work, family chores work. And you cannot let your wife discombobulate that atmosphere, particularly if she does not naturally, or act like she does not naturally know how to do that. And if she does not know how to do that, you better make sure that you help her to understand that this must be done. The children deserve a peaceful, quiet, orderly, productive, get it done environment. And the mother, the wife, is supposed to play a major part of that as your helpmeet. And God's going to hold you accountable. Now, you say, "Well, okay, preacher, I'm gonna be quiet and not say anything to her. I'm not gonna rebuke her." No, I'm not talking about that. If she's causing a problem And there are many wives who cause a problem in the family and discombobulate the peace. And you teach her and you deal with her in such a way that she keeps the peace. Not about you trying to keep the peace. You're the one in authority. You want peace, like David said. I want peace, but when I speak, there is war. Okay, so you don't back away from speaking. You speak. And you speak order in that household. And if it does not look like love, sometimes so be it. Your children will appreciate it in time to come. And then God tells the wife, see that she reverence her husband. See, this is not taught in the church, the so-called evangelical church, which is nothing but a Laodicean church on steroids. I don't care if you like it or not. This is not taught in the church. Pastors' wives tell their husbands, don't preach on that. That's going to cause the women to revolt and rebel and leave the church. Pastors afraid to preach on it because they don't have their own family in order. But this needs to be preached, and churches need to line up with biblical, God-ordered authority. In most cases, the church, the pastor and the pastor's wife and the board, deacon board, and oftentimes they need the board put on them, the trustee board, they need the board put on them too. They line up and side with the wife, the woman. And that's why we got 95% women in the church, and the men are gone because they're not respected by their wives, they're not respected by their children, and they're not even respected by the pastor and the church. And so many have given up and have left the church. And they leave their wives and their children in the church and let them go with oftentimes the wife and others being hit on by certain church officials. I don't care if you like it or not. It happens. That's why we're in the mess we're in today in the church. Can't even go to the church in peace. You know why? Because God shut down the church, not the devil. You're a liar. Your feet ain't made. And your heart pumps peanut butter. God shut it down because we were not doing right in the church. And everybody knows it. We're a big old fat Laodicean church on steroids. We're the worst Laodicean church of all time. And every saved person knows it. So, with that said, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respects or honors her husband. And by the way, you women out here messing with a Bo Peep will even tell you, look here now, don't run down your husband to me, because if you start doing that, you're going to eventually start running me down, and I'm not going to tolerate that. And I want you to understand, I want you to stay with your husband. I'm just going to do what I do with you. But don't disrespect your husband to me, because I don't play that. Now, both people tell you that. And send you back to your husband after he gets through with you. Because he'll tell you that you're not going to disrespect me now. And if you do that to your husband, I know that you think I'm going to be next, and I don't play that. And I would never marry you in the first place. So don't even think about me ever being your husband. I want you to stay with your husband. That's what Bo Peep will tell you. And tell you to your face, I just want to use you when I want to use you. Let's pray for others, in keeping with the Spirit. of the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service. Holy Father God, we pray for all people who name the name of Christ. Help all of us to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Holy Father God, we pray for the President and his administration and all ministers of government in this country and around the globe. We pray for every potentate, every premier, every prime minister, and every president, and all of their administrations. We pray for the salvation of those who don't know your Savior, for without you as their guide, the situation is hopeless. And we pray that they would come to know your Savior and bow down to you and follow your leadership, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives. And Holy Father God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of the persecuted. Comfort them, deliver them, protect them, give them your grace in their trying hours and in their dying hours. And we pray for the salvation of the lost in this world, for the revival of the saved in this world, for the healing of the sick in this world, and we pray for the comfort of the grieving in this world, and we pray for some of those by name, those who are grieving and mourning because of the novel coronavirus plague. We pray for the family and friends of Iowa resident Betty Garner. We pray for the family and friends of Iowa resident Marie Hiaya. We pray for the family and friends of Iowa resident Jerry Hicks. And we pray for the family and friends of Iowa photographer Megan Chilick. And we pray for the family and friends of Indian doctor Kay Rogie. And Holy Father God, we pray for a few of the people who have sent in our prayer requests. We pray for a few by name, but we pray for the thousands of others as well. Please hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. And Lord, we pray for salvation and spiritual family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, blessings upon all of them. And we pray for a few by name specifically. We pray for Bruce. Help someone called by you to come and start a local church in their area. We pray, Lord, for Sam. Help him to start a business. We pray for Baini in Nigeria. Provide them money to rent a house. And Lord, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved through the ministry, through the preaching of the gospel of this ministry. We pray for a few by name. We pray for thousands of others who have done so. We pray for Anthony, Timothy, and Brazvan, Nadia, and Dilchen. And Lord, we pray also for all of those who have recommitted their lives to Christ. Through the preaching of your word, through this ministry, we pray for Mikutina, Farong, Peggy, Erica, and Ida. And Holy Father God, we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. As the people listen to the gospel now, help them to repent and be saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen.
Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you. that he gave his only begotten Son, God gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins, however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner. And I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to truly repent of my sins past. And to truly repent of my sins present. And to turn from my evil life. And to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.